The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
The following program may contain music with language or themes which some might consider offensive. We advise discretion.
And now, coming to you from the pulsating heart of urban Invercargill, come in, pull up a comfy chair, kick your shoes off, and put these on. TNN, the new normal, are proud to welcome you in to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome into the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. We are TNN, the new normal, Darren and Linda Ludlow.
Kia ora.
This is our 268th episode, and it's the 20th of September, which is getting close to the anniversary of when you left to go away to the UK. In 2000.
Yes, indeed.
And,
a week later.
2000.
Yep.
It's also the anniversary, actually, of my dad when he passed away. Something we prepared earlier, essentially. So, for this past week, I've been in Hastings, attending an Access Media conference. My first trip to Hastings, to the Hawke's Bay, in fact.
May the grape be with you.
Thank you. I might find some while I'm there. The last time this conference was held in Hastings, I was in Japan. And so one of the program makers, actually, Shelley Armistead, if you remember her.
Yes, absolutely.
She said, oh, I'll go.
I bet.
Woman of means. And away she went, had a great time, really enjoyed it, which was cool. And it was a privilege to have her represent the station. So I'm looking forward to, by this stage, hopefully I've had an enjoyable week up there and managed to stay all week and be feeling filled. But in order to do that, it's meant a bit of working ahead. however, it does get me out of all the electoral dysfunction that's going on at the moment. Away from the campaign trail, not that I've been traipsing it too much. You've had a couple of things you've had to go to.
Yeah, the worst times of my life, those. I don't enjoy them.
It's a whole lot of people. Step away. Spray and walk away.
Yes.
So what we have done is prepared something a little earlier. So we're not going to talk about things that have happened in the past week because it's no point. We don't have a crystal ball. We will finish off our Japanese tour, but we've picked pieces of music that we have played previously and quite enjoy. And you get to go first.
Yes. Well, this song always comes into my head if somebody says, can you think of a good song that, you know, I don't know. This one. Released in 1978.
Funky Groovalicious.
By Earth, Wind and Fire.
Very timely.
And it's very close to the actual date.
So what is it? Is it the 22nd?
21st.
Which is tomorrow.
Yes.
So hey! So it's been a year since we played it.
Yes, indeed.
Because it was actually
That
day last year.
An unlikely coinkydink. But look, I just, you know, it's good funky. I love the old YouTube video
dancing
with the psychedelic, you know, it was all very new and trendy then.
Like the Jacksons.
Yeah, that kind of kaleidoscopy, yeah. Rainbowy stuff. Very cool. But it also, you know, it pops up on Instagram reels and, you know, Facebook stuff all the time, just as it's sampled and all sorts of things.
It's quite timeless, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it took, I think I read somewhere, the Maurice White and Ali Willis co-wrote it. And Ali Willis, I think, took like 20 single-side pages to get it right. And unhappy with the little section that's not got words in it, it's just got, you know, sounds.
The bridge.
Yes. So... But now that's the favourite part. So anyway, there's a little useless information.
Well, we're going to listen to them more carefully this
well,
time.
That's right. So, yeah, nothing else needs to be said. Dancing shoes on. September, Earth, Wind and Fire.
So that's the piece you're talking about there. The
yep.
Party, yardy, yardy,
yardy. I always thought it was Party On. So, it
so
just
did
made,
I.
So, you know, but it's not. It's just Party,
so it's just shit they made up.
Yeah, but it's great.
Yes, it
and
is.
And it better feature in the November dance party.
Well, that's up to you. This is the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. We are TNN, the new normal. And this is a little something we prepared earlier because I've been away in the Hawke's Bay this week. And so we're picking pieces of music that we've played in earlier shows and just not discussing anything particularly recent. But things sort of, so like for example, V8 Supercars were at the Bend last weekend, and we can't discuss that because we don't know what happened.
We could pretend that we've predicted the outcome.
We could give you correctly. A variety of options. Congratulations to Brendan Leach for a spectacular
yes.
win. We'll claim it all, or better luck next time. Hope it goes well at Bathurst. I've never been to the Hawke's Bay, have you?
Yes, a couple of times.
Okay.
Strangely enough, ended up at the Mission Vineyard.
Oh, who'd have thought?
Both times.
What were you going for?
Concerts, obviously.
Wine. No. On one occasion, I was hitchhiking from Auckland to Wellington with Lisa Rooney.
Good heavens.
And she had cousins, a cousin called Johnny Walker.
Wow.
I know, I've never forgotten him. Well, his name anyway, and an aunt who lived in Napier. So we hitched there and then had a visit to the Mission Winery. And why was I there the other time?
You weren't there for concerts?
No, because there weren't any of those kinds of things.
Well, this is the olden days.
Yes, this is the olden days, right. Last century, before the likes of the Vineyard concerts and stuff. So I can't remember what the other time I was, why I was there. Might have been a teacher's college thing, maybe. But anyway, really like Napier.
I'm in Hastings. See, I didn't even know that you've got to land in Napier and then get to Hastings.
Yeah, so they're like, kind of like twin cities, but not. And Hastings might consider itself the poor cousin. And my good friend Ellen, who lives in Wellington,
yes.
Her brother is a school principal in Hastings, actually.
Oh.
So I haven't spent a lot of time in Hastings.
So it must be...
It's the home of the likes of Tellys or one of those big canning...
Well, there was the big flood they had a while back.
Yes.
And...
Earthquakes in the past.
A fellow resource management hearings chair commissioner woman who's an ex-Southlander used to listen to me on FOVO when she went to Girls High. I felt old. And she lives up in that area now, and she and her husband farm. And they were in the area where the river just ploughed through all the farms.
Yep.
But their house was up on a rise.
Oh, yes.
And so all the neighbours came to their place.
Nice.
They were an island.
Yep.
Wow. So it'll be interesting to have a look at their resilience if we get a chance to check that out. I think our conference has been at the Art Centre there, so I'm sure it'll have been a wonderful time.
Well, and Napier have put in a lot of effort into the Art Deco restorations, having survived the earthquake way back in...
whenever it was,
yes.
1940s.
Black and white times, yes. They were. Yes.
In the olden days.
Yes. It's only two colours.
Still to come, there is a musical taste of Asia that I picked.
Yes, so I see.
And a song that reminds us both of your dad, but was actually quite a revelation.
Yeah, that's why I chose it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
dear Lord.
But the next piece of music I've picked, this one, is from the Average White Band. And it's very kind of late 70s disco dancey, but with a horn section, much like Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yes.
And a lot of bands at that stage, Chicago, big horn section. But I always kind of imagined that these were people of colour.
Yes, a bit like Wild Cherry.
Yeah.
Mm.
No.
Nope.
Bit like Wild Cherry.
lot like White Cherry.
These people are from Scotland.
Yes, and the clue should have been in the name, though.
Well, they're very.
yeah, they couldn't have called themselves.
No.
The other one.
Remember, though, I mean, in these days, would it be acceptable? And can you find anywhere on YouTube episodes of the Black and White Minstrels?
Oh, I haven't looked.
I mean, that was stuff they had their own television show when we were kids.
And loved it.
And our parents loved it.
Yeah,
and
mum and dad loved it.
And there's just...
Music was good.
These days, that'd be called blackface and you'd be cancelled.
Yes, indeed. We should... Let's not go there.
No. I'm pausing.
Anyway, this band's quite good.
It is. Please put your dancing shoes on for the Average White Band as we pick up the pieces. We'll be right back.
my God, we've started off today's show with a couple of dancey, wancy, prancy numbers, have we not?
Funky numbers.
Yes. And you too. The average white band and pick up the pieces. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Fluffy Slipper Lounge via Radio Southland. It's a little something we prepared earlier because I've been away in the Hawke's Bay over the past week. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been sharing with you some of our adventures from the land of the rising sun, and we'll wrap that up before we go into a musical piece or a musical taste of Asia. One of the reasons that we chose to go at the time of year that we did, which happened to be the hottest,
which was one of my reasons,
was for an event called Hanabi, which is a big fireworks festival that they have in Kumagaya, which is our sister city. Now, basically 20 years ago, I first travelled to Japan in a very privileged position on a diplomatic mission from Alderaan to Kumagaya, and we were there when this event happened. On another subsequent trip, more recently, I saw it for a second time. But the first time we'd been up on the top of a car park building having Korean barbecue. This, the second time, we were on tatami mats down on the riverbanks watching it. Now, it's one of the biggest fireworks festivals in Japan, and well over 400,000 people come in to see it. It's very clever in that it goes for 2 hours. 2 hours.
I know, and I had thought, I can barely watch fireworks for 5 minutes at home. It's like, 2 hours? It's going to be painful.
And the scale of the fireworks is way bigger than anything you get in this country. But they come in sections, and there's a program that we're not able to read because it was all in hiragana or katakana, where different corporates sponsor each section. So it's paid for. And you got, you know, the best part, 500,000 people coming, swarming into your city, and there's food vendors all over the place and this great sea of humanity. I mean, we were picked up by one of the councillors who walked us through the station. Did we go through the station on the way there? Yes.
Yeah.
And then through the seats and then down to the riverside and the nice cardboard tatami, reusable, recyclable, very clever to watch. It started with the drone show sponsored by Tokyo Disneyland, and then the sunset and the fireworks started. And like, we were really privileged because we were lying down and with a great view and a couple of hosts.
Treated to food and drinks is the way.
And then one of the councillor came back and walked us home in a different way, again with this great sea of humanity. I had tried to describe to you after my previous visits what this thing was like, and at the end of the show, what was your reaction?
I didn't really have any words to describe it, actually, because it was like,
what have I just seen?
Well, and it wasn't just because it was like mind-blowingly amazing fireworks. I mean, they were large and loud and a major chest hurt when they went bang. But the sheer scale of the event, and, you know, they don't have to worry about whether they're going to have to cancel it because it's raining or windy. It had been a bit damp, had it?
No,
it would have been windy.
But
you know, they get almost guaranteed a good night weather-wise, and there were, you know, 400,000 people there. We weren't aware of any problems anywhere. Everybody arrived over a long period, and then everybody left all at once, as happens.
It's a family event. And so, well, you know, people are having a drink, but they're not getting stupid.
No, and just everybody having a good time. And the tatami actually was Lado the Younger who said to us that the prime tatami mats are part of a kind of a dating, you know, dating thing. And there were lots of couples just having a romantic evening out, some of them quite young, dressed in their kimono and yakata. And, so everybody just really enjoyed it. And then I'm also looking across the river at where they were all being released from and thinking about the sheer logistics of lighting the right ones at the right time, all that programming and all that health and safety. There were some of our councillor friends from Kumagaya were volunteer fire people, so they were out being hilarious as that particular one is. You know, I saw all of that stuff and just the logistics of the health and safety and the fireworks. If you asked me to go again, I wouldn't mind, but I don't mind if I don't see it again, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in that boat as well, which doesn't diminish what the event is, but no. I've seen it three times.
Yeah, and I don't know how you watched it for a third time, actually. But I guess it's different. Oh, it's different every time.
Yeah, but for me, this time more than any other, I was able to enjoy it as a shared experience with you, and that made a big difference to me.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because I'd try and describe it in the past. And
yeah, well, fireworks, but also they, you know, they're massive and they're way better than any of the ones we get in our public displays.
Better than that one in Tunners.
Yes. 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 Without the traffic lights.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm really glad, really fortunate that we were so well looked after, because if we'd been there on our own and trying to navigate all of that,
it would have been all right.
It would have been great, but it wouldn't have been the, you know, kind of luxury experience that it was. We'd have been sitting on a bank getting bitten by critters or standing miles away. So it was, you know, the ultimate experience for me. We were very fortunate to be so well looked after.
So speaking of the so well looked after, earlier in the year there were a group of Kumagai City councillors who came over, and I spent a couple of days with them showing them around. And they found out that we were thinking of heading back for Hanabi, and they said, oh, well, we will look after you and get you a nice place to watch, and we will go out to Gonda's Sake Factory. As we got closer, they're touching base and going, oh, when do you arrive? And we will pick you up at this time to take you to Gonda. Now,
thoroughly well organised.
You had met Gonda here, but you hadn't, and you had been to his house previously, yes, but he had been unwell and was in hospital.
Yep, I'd met the boys.
Yep, and his wife, who is a marvellous producer of food, just an absolutely amazing hostess. And so that's what we were expecting. And it was hot, like it was 40 degrees when we arrived. It was bloody hot.
Mm.
And you'd said, oh, should we get changed? Oh, I was just going out to Gondas.
Yeah, but just in the back of my head, I'm thinking,
it was that little voice.
I'm in short shorts and a T-shirt, and I'm going to have to sit on the floor. So that alone was like, oh, I should probably get changed.
And so you did. And a good thing too, because they picked us up and took us to bloody City Hall, where there's, you know, there's New Zealand Japan signs and all over the place, and the staff are standing up, and they take us into the council chamber, which is very interesting, is it not?
Yes.
And then we go into this meeting room, and I thought, oh no, I've been in here before. And this is where they take you before they take you in to meet the mayor.
It's the waiting room for the mayor's office.
And,
which I didn't really know.
Sure enough.
I was just sitting there.
We went into, actually it was my first time in the mayor's office with Nia Kobayashi.
Oh, nice.
Because, of course, it was the previous mayor that I'd visited a number of times.
Mm.
And his father was the mayor of Kumagaya when the sister city relationship was signed. And we didn't actually get much of a chance to spend much time with him on our previous visit, but he remembered us very kindly and received us, and he's a lovely gift, and we had a nice chat. He was very interested in your role with the I guess the Japanese equivalent is prefectural government.
Yeah, so they're a regional council, kind of.
But was also very impressed that you are a whiskey drinker and quite like Japanese whiskey. So fast forward to we finally get taken out to Gonda Sake Factory, and he gives us a tour and shows us, and thanks to our friend Junko for translating, shows us around with one of the boys, and then the councillors come out, and Mrs. Gonda's made a massive meal once again, and we're having a good time. And then Mayor Kobayashi turns up again, and he turned up to say hello to us at the fireworks as well, so it was really super kind.
Yeah.
But he had this bottle of whiskey for you.
Yes.
And the councillors are looking at it go, whore.
Yeah, and Junko was like, oh, that's really special.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
We still haven't opened it.
Make more of a fuss. maybe
Maybe
I've got something in mind.
Maybe, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But that, it was just a very generous experience, and actually quite pleasantly on the Sunday after the fireworks, when we were heading back to Tokyo, it was raining very lightly, but it was nice because it was cool.
It was a wee bit cooler, and they were relieved that it had waited until
the next day.
But, oh, look, and actually it was doubly nice because we didn't have to think about any of the arrangements. Like, we just we just had to do as we were told. And, you know, they organised everything, and it was a really nice break from having to be kind of
constantly planning
how to get places and what we were going to do and all that stuff. And we were just thoroughly spoilt, as they always do, and I always feel terribly guilty that we're not quite so good at spoiling them, I don't feel, when they come here. But we'll catch up with some of them in the new year,
We should acknowledge our friends in the Kumagaya International Friendship Association.
Oh, absolutely.
Who took us for a beautiful lunch at really what was a Michelin star
Italian
restaurant. So a Japanese chef who hunted and gathered all the food and prepared it, and it was just
like
superb.
Similar to the one that we went to last year.
Which was French.
Which was French, which they hosted us at also. Really small, like our table of, I don't know, how many of us were there?
20.
Yeah, filled up the restaurant.
Yep.
So just a small number and beautifully appointed and locally grown ingredients hunted and gathered by the man himself. And his mum had been on the first...
Yeah, on the first trip over here.
Yeah, Kumagaya City trip. So,
along with one of our friends who's a life member of the Wild Knights.
Yes, yeah. She's so cool.
Anazaki Kyoko.
Yeah, we're just really, really grateful and know how spoilt we have been.
Yep. And then we headed back to Tokyo and we were staying in Asakusa, where we had stayed last year, but we weren't at the Saika Hotel, but there was much more we had to discover.
And still more.
We did go to the Golden Turd, as I've often called it, which is the Asahi Beer Hall.
Yes.
There's a big statue.
Obligatory photos of the...
of the turd, and then go up
Golden Bubble
up to the top to the viewing area and have an Asahi, as one is wont to do, and then made our way over to Tokyo Sky Tree. Was that the same day or the next day? Next day, I think.
Yeah, no, it was a different day.
Again, another elevated view, and just this. It was kind of a bit cloudy and windy that day. When I say it was a bit windy, it was windy.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was cold when we got on the bus.
But you could still get a pretty good view despite the cloud of just endless sea of humanity. And then we got on a bus, and that was the wrong one. Thank you, Darren. And then we got on the right bus. Thank you, Lyndall. And went to the Hokusai Museum, which was fascinating.
Oh.
Now, Hokusai is the artist who created the, 36 views of Mount Fuji?
Yep.
Which includes the famous wave... piece of art that's in so many things, which I never realised. Oh, look, there's Fuji.
Yeah.
Until that very trip.
And that series of works was also more famous because of the indigo blue that he used. Mm. That was a unique blue that nobody else was using at the time.
Had
to make it up.
But also a creator of manga.
Yeah. Manga.
Sorry. I stand corrected.
He published books on kind of how-to books on how to draw all the little characters, and he had endless notebooks, which we were allowed to thumb through at the museum.
The actual books.
Yeah, it's like far out.
Without gloves.
Yeah, and it clearly had, you know, finger marks where people would hold the book and flick through. I felt pretty privileged to do that. And I was absolutely astounded that they actually have preserved all that very delicate stuff, because it's all on, you know, rice paper and really light paper, and the inks are all amazing. And so I saw some original works of his, a beautiful building, a very funky, shiny, reflective building from the outside.
And the mannequin. There's this mannequin on the floor, which represented him doing this piece of art, and then the arm moved, and I was like, what the hell?
It was like the Weta Workshop, large figures, not oversized, human-sized, but it moved, and it just was a bit disconcerting. Mm. But that's how he did his work. He lay on the floor or was, you know, sitting cross-legged and leaning forward or whatever. So.
And then we walked from there back
and again down the back streets. Here's a vending machine. What this one sells? Coffee beans in little cans.
Took us a while because we could see that there were cans and that there was coffee, but we weren't sure whether it was coffee or whether it was beans. So it took a while to work that out. And we bought a very expensive can of coffee beans out of the vending machine that was just on its own in a back street somewhere near the Asahi head office, but, about 3 or 4 blocks away. So we could not get something from that vending machine, so we bought some beans and had them when we got home.
And they were delicious.
Light but delicious.
Senjoji Temple? Very crowded.
Senjoji Temple, yep, very crowded.
We did, thank you again, Instagram, find an underground area that was no longer used of the subway.
Yeah, it is still used, actually. There were still people going to the train.
Yeah, but off to the side. With some interesting little funky shops there. There's a great record store that you acquired, a great LP of David Bowie's at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the sign that said, if you are racist, homophobic, or just an asshole, don't come in.
So we went in.
Called Ninja Bar. So we went in, and the barman is dressed as a ninja, and had a couple of cocktails, met a couple of who were visiting from China. One was American from Ohio, and Gazamas, and the other was English, and they lived in China and had a good old chat to them.
Yep. Got some sake out of a glass.
Oh.
But they had a tear top can lid.
Mm.
Fantastic. I wish I'd been able to keep the jar, actually.
We had a wonderful experience with the Askusa Sumo Club that you had booked, which was a prepackaged entertainment. It's very much, it's a show.
Yeah.
They give you the history of sumo. There's all-you-can-eat food and a complimentary drink. There's a traditional Japanese dance, and then two fat boys come out and have a fight.
Yeah.
And then they get members of the public to go and have a fight with them.
That was terrible, actually.
But it was a great night, and not only do you get the chance to have your photo taken with them, and they can use your camera to take photos, and then you get out and the ones that they took are already printed and there's a goodie bag for each person.
Yeah, it was a really good deal, actually, because we're always aware that it's A, hard to get tickets to sumo tournaments, and B, we're not usually there at the right time for that. So I thought, oh, well, we'll just do this touristy thing and see what it's like. And it was, it was good. Yep.
Other things that happened, we did a morning trip to Ueno to catch up with a former staff member from Radio Southland who lives in Japan now, in Nagasaki. He'd just returned from New Zealand, and so we had breakfast with him and then went and played darts, electronic darts, and drank beer from something that looked like a softball bat.
Yep, at like 10:30 in the morning.
Speaking of softball bats.
I spilt most of mine down my front.
You had a go in a batting cage.
I did. I wish I'd stayed longer. It was so cool.
You want to talk about that?
Going back there.
Okay.
Going back there.
A day trip into what was the
Yanaka Ginza.
Yanaka Ginza.
Yeah.
Cat Street. Which was really cool.
It was cool. It was actually really hot, and we were struggling for coffee and food.
Yes.
Again.
Speaking of coffee, we did revisit a place that we discovered last year called Mocha Coffee in Askusa, a little bunny place, and it's still just as good. Lots of wandering around, lots of guys on rickshaws wanting to give us a ride. But
a fair bit of getting slightly misplaced.
Yep. Wonderful foods once again.
Caught lots of buses.
Coffee. So we found two really interesting coffee shops. We were trying to find a place called, we'd seen it, Ortega Coffee, and we couldn't, but we found this lovely old place called Coffee March, which has been operating, these two ladies have been running it since 1968, and that's pretty much the decor.
It still looks like that.
Yep.
And it's just a tiny little corner shop.
And they make coffee the old-fashioned percolating way, and I think they're a bit surprised that a couple of gaijin turned up. But they were very generous, and we had a coffee and on our way, and then we found the place we were looking for, so we went in and had a coffee there too. He was a motorcycle fan, so he was very fascinated in the whole Burt Munro thing, and it had those wonderful kind of felted cactuses in the place. And then on our last day, joint tattoos. found a
place off the street, up in a loft.
Well, you know, on reflection, it was a really good idea because we couldn't stay at the hotel because we had to check out, and the plane didn't leave till much later. So we found somewhere air conditioned and quiet and calm,
and it was very good.
Spent a couple of hours in there, getting tattoos. So my mother once again was, you know, horrified.
Oh, you found that simulator place, so I got on a driving simulator.
Yeah. And he got shoes and gloves and everything to put on. It was very cool.
It was one of those machines that bounces you around a little bit, driving a Formula 3 car around the Fuji Grand Prix circuit.
The guys were a bit, because Darren had said, oh, you know, I'm familiar with the circuit, so I'll choose, you know, that one. And they were a bit sceptical, I reckon.
Yeah, what driving assist do you want? 1 to 5? I said, 2? Oh, okay. Do you want driving line on? No, thank you. Oh. Oh, you know Japanese circuit. I know this one.
Yes. And so they were watching out the corner of their eye for a fair bit to see how you did.
Yeah, lap 1, I cut a corner and had my time disqualified, but they were making good noises after. I had a really enjoyable time. It was good fun.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind I've been separated from a PlayStation for 3 weeks and still survived, who knew? That was Ascusa. Found a couple of nice, interesting bars. We found one sort of downstairs, and then found another one, which was a shisha bar. But I realised I'd left the umbrella behind and went back to get it, and it's a dirty, great big rat in the street. Yeah. It was like cat size, and we just looked at each other and then went about our own business.
It was a funny little bar, that one.
But the best way, you know, and it's sad when you're coming back because, you know, it's over. We had a couple of days in Auckland on our way back.
It was cold.
Which is cold.
It's cold and wet.
It was Auckland. Although, ironically, the first thing we did was go out for food at a Japanese restaurant.
Yes, we had Yakitori.
Yeah.
And then we found ourselves at Daiso in the city and bought more stuff that we should have bought in Japan, but we didn't.
Oh, well.
What a fantastic pair of scissors to trim the cat with.
Yes. It's worth noting that one of the best ways to get over the post-holiday blues is to be planning your next one and kind of thinking that a November trip next year might be a good idea because there's some sport you'd like to see. We'd like to see a Panasonic Wild Knights game.
Yeah.
And we would
it's
like
also volleyball season.
Volleyball, winter, yep. So. Maybe some actual sumo. But you've also picked that the Rally of Japan's on at that time as well.
Yes,
up in the
early
north.
November, Rally of Japan.
Is this around your birthday?
It might be a thing.
Yeah.
You'll be comforted to know that I've already been looking and I can't book that far ahead yet.
All right.
So I haven't done that yet.
Right.
Because it's too far away.
Last, on your first trip, we had been back 2 days when you said, oh, look, cheap flights to Japan. 2 days.
Yeah.
Which leads us into our musical taste of Asia for this week, which I've picked.
Yes.
And it's, are they J-pop or K-pop? J-pop.
Oh, not pop, J-rock.
J-rock, so indeed. And we're going to see them in concert in Melbourne next year.
I'm obviously a lot more excited than Darren is yet. But
I'm very curious. The bugger is it's a couple of days after the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to go to the Grand Prix, one, we have been to the Melbourne Grand Prix before and it was a great event and I'm not sure we could top that and we should go to a Grand Prix somewhere else.
Yep.
But two, the change in price of accommodation.
Oh, accommodation was 3 times dearer over there. Those few days, so.
But I remember that from when we went last time.
Yeah.
The day after, it was like suddenly the room.
Well, and the first couple of nights were cheaper than the rest because we went early.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, Melbourne's a great place. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, I mean, from what I've heard of 1OK Rock, I like their stuff. It's very energetic. It's very frenetic. It's very precise.
Well, they've been around for 20 years, and they're grown ups.
Yep.
Although Tucker's not. Huge. And they're currently touring, or they've just finished a Japan tour, actually.
I'm also curious to see what the crowd's like. But, but they're Australian, so I don't know.
I'll be there.
But we'll be in Melbourne.
Very multicultural city, though, remember.
So can you remember anything about this particular track that I've selected that
we've
played before?
But you might want to talk about it.
Nope.
Oh, okay. We'll just play it then.
Okay. This is 1OK Rock and I Was King.
Thank you.
1OK Rock, live in Osaka, and I Was King, and as we mentioned on the Fluffy Slipper Lounge a few minutes ago, we're going to go and see them in Melbourne next year, looking forward to it, and our friend Kuniwara Sakamoto, Kuni-san from Kumagaya, is a fan of 1OK Rock as well, so he was telling me.
Yes.
He's my vintage, but looks way better.
He's taller.
Thinner.
He's taller.
Younger. Booking. This is the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Radio Southland, a song that shocked us coming up very shortly in this particular episode. A little something we prepared earlier because I've been in the Hawke's Bay this week. But first...
Steve. Le. Wow. Le poisson Steve.
Poisson Steve.
Il est orange. Il a des bras et des jambes.
The amazing viral trend of Le Poisson Steve. One of the things that Lyndall has picked up as he scrolls around the internet. And what have you discovered this week?
Well, I've got a joke for you.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Via, what's it called? Info_grail is the account. And they've got lots of irreverent jokes about stuff. Excuse me, but they've shared this post by Ross Leister. This is that vanishingly rare occasion when someone says fun fact and then tells you something that is just insanely funny. Fun fact for the day.
Yes.
Karl Marx's great-great-grandson has a parkour YouTube channel called Exclamation Marx. It's a true thing and it's really funny. There you have it. That is all.
That is brilliant.
Concluding with an exclamation.
Steve.
Le.
Wow. Le. Wow. Steve.
Make it big.
What is your Steve?
Il est orange. Il a des bras et des jambes. Le poisson Steve.
Do you know that he's got a great-great-grandson who's in Japan and takes part in the drift culture, drift car culture? He's called Skid Marks.
Oh, stop it.
Okay, I made that up.
That's wildly inappropriate.
Yes. Speaking of which, that leads us into our next piece of music, which is a song that your dad used to play on the banjo or the ukulele.
Yes.
And is a famous piece by George Formby.
Yes.
But when we played it last time, there was just an absolute revelation as we listened to it. So let's play it and see if you can spot what the revelation is. Listen to George Formby and When I'm Cleaning Windows. And I mean, listen.
Cleaning windows to earn an honest bob. For a nosy parker, it's an interesting job. Now it's a job that just suits me. A window cleaner you would be if you can see what I can see. When I'm cleaning windows, honeymooning couples too. You should see them bill and coo. You'd be surprised at things they do. When I'm cleaning windows, in my profession I'll work hard, but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. The blushing bride, she looks divine. The bridegroom, he is doing fine. I'd rather have his job than mine. When I'm cleaning windows, the chambermaid, sweet names I call. It's a wonder I don't fall. My mind's not on my work at all. When I'm cleaning windows,
I know a fella's such a swell, he has a thirst that's plain to tell. I've seen him drink his bath as well. When I'm cleaning windows or in my profession, I'll work hard but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. Pajamas lying side by side, ladies' nighties I have spied. I've often seen what goes inside when I'm cleaning windows. Talky queen, she looks a flapper on the screen. She's more like 80 than 18. When I'm cleaning windows, she pulls her hair all down behind, then pulls down her never mind, and after that pulls down the blind. When I'm cleaning windows, in my profession, I'll work hard, but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. An old maid walks around the floor, she's so fed up, one day I'm sure she'll drag me in and lock the door. When I'm cleaning windows. When I'm cleaning windows.
So this is the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Radio South, and that was 1936, September 27th, 1936, that George Formby released that single.
Oh, nearly the anniversary.
Hmm. And it's all about a dirty, bloody, peeping Tom.
Well, when he's out cleaning the windows, he looks in and this is what he sees.
He's a dirty old peeping Tom.
Well,
it sounds like he gets some payoff at the end as well.
I had forgotten. I know, I was unprepared for the memories and the visions that came back to me when the instrumental break, which instrumental, what did I break, happens in the middle, because I could, Dad came flooding straight back, yeah. And I can see him with his strumming his banjo with his broken finger, so it's kind of stuck out at a weird angle, and his leg keeping time. Yeah, really, really clearly, right in my face.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
So this is the Fluffy Slipper Lounge, the episode we prepared earlier while I've been away in the Hawke's Bay. A reminder, we'll do a plug, Cormac Buchanan, racing in Mizuno this weekend. Grid Talk coming up at Transport World Saturday, October 11th. He's being interviewed along with Simon Crayford by Stephen McIver. 6 o'clock is when the doors open. It's $200 per person because it is raising funds for, you know, it's not easy and cheap to be over there. MacAttackMotorsport@gmail.com. That's an easy one. Mac, M-A-C. MacAttackMotorsport@gmail.com is the email to send your inquiry through and get along and catch that. Tables of 10 available. So, you know, find 9 friends and get along.
Yep.
Be nice to see him because this is, I think that's the week before he heads over to race at Phillip Island.
Mm.
Again, another great reason to go to Melbourne. Incredible. Should go back to Melbourne. Oh, hang on, we are. I think we did actually entertain the idea of maybe going to watch the MotoGP in Melbourne. But
yes, but circumstances have meant that's not possible. Otherwise, we'd have been going there as well. But
only so much money.
Well, that's right. So much time, so much money.
Should do a plug for Last Night of the Proms, which is an Inner Wheel Club of Invercargill North event that happens at the Civic Theatre on the 1st of November, 7:30 that night. It's $45 for adults, students or senior citizens, $40. You get it from Ticketek.
$40 is pretty good.
Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah.
Fundraiser for Hospice Southland. Some of the artists include Deborah Waikapoe, Suzanne Prentice, Barry McDonald, Cheryl Anderson, Michelle Lang, David McMeekin, Michael Buick, Craig Waddell, the Ascot Park Brass, the Invercargill Symphonia, and a 100-voice choir.
Nice.
Not a bad night.
I went to one of those ages ago with Dr. Karen.
Oh, gosh. I can only begin to imagine how into it she was.
This would be like the light, late 90s before I went overseas.
Late 90s.
Yep. I parked my little...
My aunt, whom I live with, had a parrot called the
parked
late 90s.
My little car on Tay Street and we walked through because Karen and Kurt Carl lived on Tay Street.
Oh, yeah, I remember where they were. Yeah.
I got back and somebody had smashed my back window. It's a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good night.
So we've been playing songs from previous episodes. One more we can squeeze in before we go, and this instantly takes me back to the 16th of June 2024 in Kyoto in Japan,
because
it was my birthday,
and
we went out and we had something to eat and then we went drinking. And we were at a rooftop bar and it had just stopped raining.
Like it makes it sound like we do lots.
We did. Because afterwards we found the jazz bar, and by the time we left there, we were jazzed. But anyway, we went to this rooftop bar, and the music that was playing there, I got out the old Shazam and had a listen because I liked the sound, kind of a swamp rock sound. The artist is from Kansas. I didn't realize she's only 36. She sounds so mature. You obviously like it as well because you picked it.
Yeah, well, and it reminded me very specifically of being on that rooftop at that time. So that was cool.
That's our memory. The artist is Samantha Fish. The track is I'm Done Running. We're done for this week, and we look forward to your company again in the Fluffy Slipper Lounge next weekend. Till then, take care.
Ka kite, don't be dick. I'm turning into someone that I've never known. Past is coming undone, but I like where I'm going. I know I'm changing, changing. Watch me go. Coming.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.